Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people.
Hello and welcome to this week's Tech Talk, your technology show. If you're blind or partially sighted and you want to drink from the fountain of tech, well, this is where you'll find it. With me, as always, we have my trusty guest, Sean Preece. He always shows up. I can't really get rid of him. Hi, Sean.
Now, you made that joke nearly every week now, Stephen. I'm not going to say it's bullying at the workplace, but I'm going to HR. Good day to you, Stephen Scott. How are you?
Thank goodness for editing purposes. I can just drop in where you say, I love doing this show. Also, brand new guest on the show, new voice to the programme, Lydia Hume is here. Hello, Lydia.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the programme, Lydia. Now, Lydia, you are brand new to the show, straight out of the packaging. We're so excited to have you here. Let's be fair, you're into your tech, aren't you?
I am. I'm quite into my tech.
I mean, that's why you're here.
Here and there.
Although in saying that, you don't need to know much to be on this programme. That's my thing. I've learned that over the years.
No, so I've heard. Just as well, really.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the bullying again. I'm sending that email.
If you can get your computer to work, then yes, do that. Actually, do you know what? Speaking of which, I had quite a day today. I got up this morning, which I think is always a good start.
Well done.
I woke up and I wandered into the Tech Talk studio and I said, right, today is the day. Things will be good. And I thought, I'm going to get up early. And I switched on my laptop around about 8 o'clock in the morning, only to learn that it needed an update. Now, I didn't know what this update was, but it turned out to be the Windows Fall Creators Edition, which is a big one. And I didn't know this, and it took me 2 hours to get my laptop back up and running again. And, you know, of course it did the classic thing that Windows does. It changes all your settings. So all my audio settings were wrong again. It seemed to muck around with things. So I've got some advice for people. If you are faced with the Windows Fall Creators Update and you haven't done it yet, which most people might have done, but I guess maybe not. I think a lot of people probably put it off. I certainly did. But there comes a point where the machine just says, do you know what?
You're not going to do it, so I will.
Yeah.
I know what's best for you. We're going to do this now. That is a really annoying thing, though. There has been a lot of talk when Windows 10 came out that, you know, you can't put off these updates. And if there's an update that does something to accessibility, we're in trouble. So you can postpone it only for a matter of, I think, weeks, and that's it. But it's going to come along eventually. You can't get rid of it.
Takes over, though. That's the problem. It takes over the whole thing. So about 2 hours it took me to get my machine updated, and you know, I think I've got a pretty fast machine, frankly.
So what machine do you use, Stephen?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I love talking about this little laptop. It's a Lenovo.
Okay.
I think it's a T210.
Oh, of course, the classic, T210.
Yeah. It is. It's the only one, frankly, that people... I mean, when you think about Lenovo laptops, that's the one, isn't it? Yeah, I think it might be T201 or T210, something like that. But basically, it's a ThinkPad.
Oh, right, yeah.
Those are brilliant laptops. It's one of the older ones. It's one of those laptops you'd look at and you'd say, does that not belong in a museum? It's
one of those workhorse laptops.
Yeah, and it'll last forever. But I got it upgraded with 16 gig of RAM. It's got an i5 processor already in it. And it's got now a 512 gig SSD solid-state drive. Oh. Happy days.
That thing should be flying then. I've got to say, I saw a Lenovo over the weekend. My parents bought one. You know, you get that call from the superstore computer place and saying, I need a laptop. What should I get? You talk to the man. So anyway, they picked one that was on offer and it was £329 or something like that. An i3 processor, 200 gig SSD. It was a Lenovo. Now, I took a look at it. It was amazing. The quality of it, the speed, the size of it. It looked like a little MacBook Air. And that's the first one I've really took a look at. And it was really good for the price. I thought it was fantastic, to be honest.
They've really upped their game, haven't they, Lenovo? The quality of their, what they're producing has really increased in the last few years.
Yep, and for the price again, like I say, for £300 and something. I'm not doing an advert here, but I just thought it was a really decent laptop, not all plasticky and, you know, cheap feeling. It was really nice.
Yeah.
You can get some really nice computers for not a lot of money these days, which is great. The ThinkPad range is one I've always liked because, you know, it was originally IBM and then, of course, Lenovo. I don't know if they bought it over or it became. I don't really know what happened with all that.
No, but
yeah, now Lenovo have got the ThinkPad. So, no, really good. So I guess that begs the question, Lydia, since you're new to the program. Tell us about your tech. What do you use every day?
Well, I use my day-to-day computer is my iMac 21.5 inch 2015 edition, which is still as fresh today as it was the day I took it out of the box three years ago now. I bought this computer and every morning when I turn it on, it's just as quick. Well, either that or I've got used to it being really slow. Just as quick, she says, hopefully, as the day I unpacked it. And yeah, it's definitely the best computer I ever bought, I think.
And do you use that for everything?
That's my at-home workhorse, getting stuff done computer, my built-in accessibility, everything super easy computer. Yet when I'm out and about, it's my iPad Pro that I use. So, yep, I'm an Apple person.
Oh, you'll be welcome here.
So have you always gone with the Mac or have you never used Windows?
I was a Windows user right the way up until I bought this Mac, and I bought the Mac after I started losing my eyesight, and that's when I thought it's going to have to be a Mac for me because the quality of the screen, my old Windows computer, got to the point where I couldn't really see it anymore. And even now I go home and I say to my dad and his Windows laptop, how the hell do you see anything on that screen? Because it just looks like a bunch of pixels, the whole thing. And he's like, well, I can, so it doesn't matter. Well, I can.
Oh, I like him. Can we get your dad on?
Yeah, have him instead. I'll give him a rule. No, he's called Steve as well, so it'd be too confusing,
yeah,
I think. Can't have two Stevens.
Oh,
yeah, too
that.
Many
no,
Stevens no. spoil the broth and all that. Classic saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's interesting, though. So you use your iMac at home and you use your iPad Pro.
I do.
I think there's lots we'll be talking about in the next few weeks and months with that topic in mind. I want to ask you the question because I know some of our listeners will probably be wondering, Lydia, you know, what is your vision like?
My vision is I've got a little bit of central, not much distance, not like across a road. I can't see anything across the road or anything. I've got some okay up close vision with zoom and things like that. And obviously lighting, and depending on the day, the lighting, the environment. It's either useful.
It's one of those really hard to answer questions.
Yeah, it's either useful or it's not. It depends. If you'd have asked me this yesterday, I'd have said it's the worst vision and I hate it and it doesn't do anything. Whereas today the sun's out and I've had a couple of coffees. And do you know what? It's not too bad, actually.
That's a really interesting point. I was trying to say this. I actually had this very conversation with someone yesterday. I said, you know, on Monday, And Sean will tell you, I was in Birmingham last week, and I honestly had such a weird experience because I was able to, for one day only, go about without my cane in a shopping centre.
Right.
I just packed up my cane and put it in my bag. I was in a shopping centre.
Were you in the Bullring?
Yes, I was actually in the Bullring, yes.
It's incredibly bright in the Bullring.
Incredibly bright. But
it's like a spaceship.
But it's not too bright.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. How could it be both?
Well,
come
it's
on.
Very, very bright, but it's not fluorescent bright, Sean.
Yes.
This is the thing.
Oh,
this is
okay.
What we're
yes.
saying.
Right. Sunlight.
Soft light, yeah, or whatever you want to call it. But I was able to get around it, navigate it without my cane.
And also there were no cars, Stephen, so that probably
And
helped.
There's no cars to kill me. Yes, that's the upside. But it was actually, do you know what? It was actually very liberating.
Yeah.
And being able just to, you know, for 1 minute, get away from that. It was quite lovely. And be anonymous as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not be the guy that everyone's leaping out of the way to get away from me.
Yeah.
that might just be me. But yeah, basically it was quite liberating. So I felt good. Although the second day, the Tuesday, couldn't do it at all. I had to get the cane out and, you know, I wouldn't have been able to see past probably myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so bizarre, isn't it? You know how that works. And trying to explain that to people is very difficult.
Trying to explain it to your eye professionals is hard enough,
yeah.
Let alone to everyone.
Yes.
I mean, you say it to your friends and family and they just take it as writ. Like, yeah, okie doke, if that's what you say, just let me know if you need anything. Say it to an eye professional and they look at you like you're an alien. Like, no, it must, can't be like that. It's not right.
So what accessibility features do you use mainly? Is that just the screen reader or just Zoom or contrast? Or
I use, on my iMac, I use Zoom because Zoom is just wonderful on my iMac and I love it a lot. And on my iPad, I used to use Zoom, but now lately I've been using a lot of, I've not been doing so much writing-based stuff on my iPad. I've been using it for more media consumption at the moment. So really, I don't bother too much with anything if I'm just, you know, if I'm just sticking on the iPlayer or something. Don't worry about putting anything on. Once again, Zoom, VoiceOver. When things don't Zoom, VoiceOver. That's how I do it, really.
We're very similar, Lydia. You and I are very similar in that regard. Yeah, I mean, I jump between.
Yeah, I think from the time we spent together, Stephen, like the way we use our technology in different environments, I think we kind of tend to access the same. Because although VoiceOver is brilliant and fantastic and wonderful, if you can not use it for a bit, it's also, if you've got that option and that privilege to be able to not use it for a bit and use Zoom instead, that's fantastic. But also if you get knackered and just want to listen to it. I mean, I use VoiceOver in a very lazy way when I'm reading through campaign articles and things for various things I do. And I'll just stick on VoiceOver on my computer, let VoiceOver read out a document to me, and then I can be working away on my iPad typing up as well at the same time. So I use it as a useful tool as well as a visual tool.
Yeah.
Which is very lazy of me, I know. I should just read it
properly. No, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, Sean, you use VoiceOver pretty much all the time now?
I do, yeah. There was a big transition period for me where, you know, I used to use Zoom, and then the Zoom magnification got more and more, and then it was, well, I need the inverted colours or high contrast all the time.
Yeah.
And then it was, let me just go over. So, you know, that's when I started using the screen reader almost exclusively. But I do use the two. I still, you know, if you've got a little vision, you will use that as much as you can anyway. You struggle, but you do rely on it. So I've got the same sort of thing. Having RP, I've got, you know, a small bit of central vision that is breaking up round about now, but I still use it. So Zoom, high contrast, but mainly I rely on, I need the screen reader.
Yeah.
I think that's what's...
Yeah, it's totally, totally different. I think that's the joy of having this accessibility. Sorry to talk in on you, Stephen.
I'm used to it.
I think it's the... Well, yeah, you will be. you will be. I think that's the joy of all this accessibility, is that it's so easy to flick between what you need. Like, turning off your VoiceOver isn't a case of having to plug your phone into the computer and taking off this program and taking your phone back out again and restarting it and all that. You just triple tap with three fingers and that's it. It's on and off. So I think that's what gives us the freedom, isn't it, to be able to choose whether or not we want to use it, and also the freedom then to be able to use our vision when we want to, or not when we don't want to or can't.
It's quite liberating when you use the technology, but then I also wonder, is it just me? I always think, is it just me with this one? You know, when you're using technology, say you're using Zoom and then you use VoiceOver, or, you know, and you're maybe sitting next to someone, I always feel that say I'm on a train, that's usually where you'll find me, somewhere on the West Coast main line. And, you know, I'm sitting next to someone and they're maybe unaware, or, you know, they're aware I've got a sight problem, because I usually, when I'm out and about, I wear sunglasses because I get really impacted by really bright light. And you know what it's like on trains, you've got the sunlight streaming through occasionally. So, you know, get the sunglasses on and I feel great. So I'm sitting there, I usually have my iPhone and I've got a little Bluetooth keyboard and my earpiece in, and I'm working away, and people think I'm insane because I'm clearly typing on a keyboard connected to nothing.
Yes.
You know, look at that poor blind guy. There he is. He's just sitting there typing away merrily. He's no idea that
someone's
stolen his computer. You know, he's no idea. So, you know, but they don't realise I'm using that. That's connected to the phone. But then, if you pick up the phone and you try and read it, you get this feeling that they're thinking, "Oh, okay. So, he was blind 5 minutes ago.
He was blind till he had a Kit Kat and a coffee, and he's all right now.
And suddenly, yeah, he's fine." Does that bother you guys? I mean, is it just me?
It used to bother me, but now I think if people wonder that much, people tend to ask a lot of the time. Lots and lots of nosy people on the train saying, "Oh, I see you've got your guide dog there, but you're also on your phone." And I'm like, Am I? Sorry, I'll stop that immediately. I'll stop existing right away for your comfort.
I don't not like people asking or commenting most of the time. But it's something I am conscious of. Like when I used to go, say I'm in a waiting room for the doctor's, hairdressers or something like that, and I'll pick up a paper. And I've got a white stick there, but I'll pick up a paper or something because I can still see the headlines, which are massive font. Can't read anything, you know, but just the headlines. So I'll pick up a paper. I don't even know why. But then I'm thinking, oh,
it's
no,
a habit, isn't it? You're
yeah,
in the
exactly.
Pick something up. Read
yeah,
it.
I shouldn't pick this up. I've got. It's almost like playing the part.
Yes.
And I am conscious of that, but I don't really mind if someone says something. I mean, when we all started using the iPhones, and you know, if you got the screen curtain on, you know, sometimes someone will say, "You know, your phone's not on, don't you?"
Yeah, people hate it when you've got the screen curtain on, don't they?
Actually, it is so much on. I haven't got the screen on, and then, oh, okay. So you don't know who's more embarrassed.
Well, it's a great way to have that privacy as well, because anyone else on a train reading their emails can have the font nice and small and have a look at it, and no one can look over their shoulder. Yet if I've got my font set to the largest and I'm reading an email that could be private or some, you know, checking my bank account or something like that, why shouldn't I put the screen curtain on and listen to it instead for that privacy that everyone else has? And
exactly.
But yeah, then people do like to help you by telling you you've not got your phone on.
Yeah, I find this quite a lot, and you know it is attitudinal. I feel sometimes that we perhaps live our lives to accommodate other people's views, and that's quite difficult to do. And at some point, and you're right, I think some point you have to just say, do you know what, I can't do that anymore. I guess that's what happened to me with the white stick. I was using the white cane, well, I was using it, and this is how Sean and I actually met, I think, if I remember rightly. You know, we started talking about using the white cane, and Sean and I clicked because we both did something exactly the same, which was we would use the white cane everywhere until we got to our street where we lived. And then we'd package it up, stick it in the bag, and then go into our street so that no one could ever possibly know. Despite the fact that we've got so little sight that we wouldn't even know if half the street was standing outside the watching us.
Everyone's waiting at the street corner very, very quietly.
Yes.
And what is that about? That is such a strange thing, and I find that a lot. And I will definitely hold my hands up and say that was a thing.
I used to do it.
Exactly. And as I keep saying, I know this is getting boring, but I have moved recently, and me and my partner, we both said we're moving in as blind people. And that's a real strange thing to say. People don't really get that. But, you know, I moved in and I've used my cane from the start. I've told everyone, because it is strange when you're in that sort of, it's almost a limbo state of partially sighted. It is strange. But we definitely made the decision to say, okay, we're not. As we were losing vision, we lived in the other house for a good number of years. And as the vision went worse and worse, it just felt socially awkward. It felt difficult, uncomfortable to explain to people why I'm suddenly using a white stick. And I know that's my issue, not their issue, the other people. But I just couldn't get over that. So when we moved into this new house, it says, right, we're moving in as blind people. There goes the neighbourhood.
No, I think you're quite right. I think it is. It's very difficult, though, isn't it? Because you're trying to. I don't know. I think it's an endless struggle that we all have to go through. We don't have to go through it, but we do go through it. And it's just something that, you know, and this is where technology, you know, plays a part in this. But, you know, as this conversation proves, technology is important, yes, but it's not the be-all and end-all to everything. It doesn't solve those social issues. It doesn't resolve them. In fact, what it does do, I've noticed, if any positive can be pulled out of the attitude side of it, what it does do, I mean, that situation, me sitting there using my keyboard and my iPhone and my earpod, you know, not looking at the keyboard or look at the phone or whatever, that invites conversation.
Yeah.
And someone will say to you, oh, what's that you're doing? And I love when people do that. I actually love it, because then I can say to them, well, this is what I use and this is what voiceover is. And they're always fascinated and they get it. They do get it. You know, people go, oh, right, so you can use this. Oh, I see. And then you want that person to go on and tell someone else, and on it goes. You know, this is feeling like a therapy session to me, and I'm loving it.
I know. Let's get back to the tech. What happened
We are here to talk about tech, I suppose. But, you know, I do you know what? It's been a really lovely conversation, and I'm glad we're having it. So, Lydia's here. We're really glad to have you with us, Lydia. We're going to be mixing it up over the next couple of weeks because, of course, Tim Schwartz is often with us as well. And, you know, as much as I would love as many human beings as possible on this show, it might get a bit awkward. We get to our 60th contributor this week. but, you know, we will definitely try and get everybody on over the next few weeks. And, you know, we're also pleased to say that Julie Rodaway will be coming back as well and joining us for conversations. In fact, Julie joins us this hour to tell us about the Elbrail. She's bought one and she cannot wait to tell us about it.
She loves it.
She does, and it's a...
Oh, sorry,
it's a
was that a spoiler? I should have said spoiler.
She absolutely loves it. I mean, she emailed me and she said, oh, I have to tell you about this thing. And essentially, it's a docking station.
That was going to be my question. What is this thing? Yeah.
It's a docking station which you put a Focus 14 Braille display into, and it basically uses Windows 10. You've got JAWS on there. And it gives you that Braille and combined experience. So it's a bit like, I guess you could say, it's like a Braille laptop of sorts kind of thing. But I'll let Julie explain it better. And, of course, Claire Potter is going to be joining us soon as well with her Potter's Picks. 3 items under 150 quid. Claire, what will she have for us this week? Well, it's all on the subject of lighting. That's all to come. But I think first it's time for this.
Email. We get email. Get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Time now to look at the emails. You know, listen, I love my jingles, and I have to tell you, everyone is loving the jingles. That it's the most commented thing.
I got to agree with you, Stephen. You said last week you're bored of it. And, you know, I've reached that point now. I think we should make a new one. Well, you should.
Well, you should.
Yeah, very funny.
Quick nomination there.
Yeah, thanks for that, Sean. Well, tough. I'm actually starting to like it again. You know, I don't know. I think it's because I've had such a nice conversation. I'm kind of enjoying the little jingle. Right. Okay. So emails then. Lots to get through as always. The email inbox is bursting. Brian Smith's been in touch. He says, hi guys, just wanted to let you know that I've been having problems listening to your show. Oh no! Come on!
What? I'm not surprised.
I don't think he means because of the content, Sean. I think he's talking about something else.
Oh right, okay, technical problems, okay.
Brian says, I used to listen to them every week through the A-Lady, but now she can't find them. Okay. He says, I've checked the TuneIn website and there are only a couple of very old episodes on there now. I gave up on that method and started using the Audioboom app on my phone and it keeps cutting off partway through. I'm devastated. I'm telling you, Stephen, it's all going to pot since the Brexit vote. please could you have a word, says Brian Smith. Well, I will have a word with the A-Lady, but I can tell you that we are on Audioboom. I would suggest one of the things that I've noticed about podcasts and downloading them is that you have to give them a chance to fully download. To make sure you're on Wi-Fi, ideally. If you're on 4G, make sure you've got a good signal. Because if it doesn't download fully, then it will cut out partway through. You know, it'll just stop because it's not fully downloaded. So that's one thing. And just, you know, I don't know what you're using, Brian, but, you know, you might want to consider just, if you're on the iPhone, use the Podcasts app, which will automatically download them for you. You know, and there are podcast equivalents on various of the Android devices. So, you know, I would maybe consider that as an option. You are using a phone, so that would be my suggestion. Anybody else got an idea on this one? I mean, you know, it's we put the podcast up and, you know, it's up to the providers then who actually put, you know, the Audioboom and iTunes and all that for them to deliver it. But it's not perfect, is it?
No. I would say the podcast app is what I use. There's also, of course, Overcast, which is another popular one. That should be fine. Just search in the whatever podcast catcher you're using for RNIB Tech Talk and you should find us. A couple of feeds there, episodes and features. As for the smart speaker, Google works really well for trying to play that podcast.
So buy another device, Brian.
No. Well,
just for us.
It seems to struggle with the RNIB. I really need to pronounce it. Otherwise, it will play R&B. music. So be sure, if you want to try saying play RNIB, sometimes that works better than saying RNIB.
And I just use my podcast app, my built-in podcast app, which will automatically download it as it's uploaded to the podcast app.
And I must admit, I mean...
So it's always there.
Well, yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's difficult with certain devices, and it is about the Wi-Fi, it is about the 4G. Yeah. You know, that really does matter when you're downloading, because I've had situations before where I've downloaded programs and they don't come through properly because I've left the house as I'm downloading it. And, you know, I just think, oh, it's fine, it'll get there. And then I realise I've only downloaded half the episode. Let us know how you got on, though, Brian. I'd love to hear what you think.
Good luck, Brian.
Yeah, good luck. Now, also, I just wanted to say hello to Kenneth, who's been in touch as well. He says, hi, guys. Visually impaired children should certainly be taught written letters. Now, this comes from a conversation we had last week on the show from one of our listeners who brought up the subject about teaching children who are blind how to actually write. We talked about the Opticon device last week, which is this device which was way back, you know, 70s and 80s this was out, and it essentially helped blind people understand through this device. It would actually create the written word into a tactile form, so you could actually feel the letters and know how letters were formed. And Kenneth picks up on this conversation. He says, yes, I come from a large family, and my siblings taught me to write the alphabet and also to sign my name. He said, when I got married, I had to learn to write my signature all over again, but my married name, thankfully, was shorter than my maiden name. So really interesting. Well, thank you for that, Kenneth. Thank you for sending that in. Also, hello from Simon, who says, hi, Steve, Sean, and team. He says, as ever, a brilliant show. I thank you.
Thank you.
He says, he picks up on a comment about the Calibre audio library, which we talked about last week. Some people having problems using it and signing in on Android devices. He said, I've tried the Calibre Cal download app on a Samsung Galaxy Note 4, a Samsung Galaxy Tab A, and a Capsys SmartView 2 phone. Wow, that's a lot of devices to have.
That's everything.
Well, I wouldn't say it's all the devices, Sean, I mean.
It's not everything, but it's...
Okay. Tried it on every device.
Simon's got all the devices. He says he tried it on all of these devices with the same result as one of your listeners. He said, in that I could not enter my PIN numbers. Called Calibre, who again were very friendly, but said they had successfully used it on an Android device. I've since tried it on my iPad with no problems, though I haven't downloaded a book yet, because he's heard of RNIB in Your Pocket, which is a different device. He says, to be honest, I think Calibre would do well to add their library to those supported by RNIB in Your Pocket. In short, your listeners' problems are not down to bad luck, and it's a shame that a good library like Calibre is experiencing these problems. Keep up the brilliant work, guys. Best wishes, Simon. Yeah, this is the problem, you know, and again, this seems to be down to device. You know, this is my thing with Android. Here we go. But
brace yourselves, belt yourselves in. Here we go.
But, you know, Android has got so many different versions kicking around. You know, I was looking at tablets. Actually, I was thinking of buying myself a little Android tablet just to, you know, muck around with. I picked up a Samsung Galaxy Tab A, and I think it was running Android 5. And then I saw another one. I think it was a Lenovo. It was running Android 4. And then I saw another one, I think was by Acer, and it was running Android 7. And I'm thinking, goodness, you know, there's so many different versions here.
And you can actually buy that product brand new then with such an old version on it that you could...
That's it, yeah.
It would be obsolete within a couple of years of buying it.
Really, really bizarre, isn't it? That, you know,
yeah.
Well, that is the issue. That is the issue. And as Simon said there, he tried a few different devices.
Yeah.
But what's really important is what version of Android were those devices running? Mm-hmm. The original email we got, sorry, I've forgotten the listener's name, who was having the initial problem, was running it on Android 6 point something. And he thought that may be the issue. But I am surprised that Calibre aren't coming up with this problem as well. They've said they've tried it on an Android device, but is that on a range of Android devices running a range of different versions of Android?
Mm.
Or have they just tried it on a, you know, Samsung, whatever, and it works okay? Because it is a big issue. There's a lot of Android devices out there, so it does need to be resolved.
All I'm going to say is it works on iPad. Right, anyway, moving on.
Can't let it go.
No, can't let it go. Listen, also hi to Rod, who's been in touch as well. He says, hi guys, regarding your Fire tablet review, this was one I did where I talked about the various gestures on the device to use the Voice View software, essentially a screen reader on that. He says, it seems to me that all the gestures for this device have been lifted directly from Apple and are the same as VoiceOver. However, this has got to be a great moment for us. If we only have to learn one set of controls which are universal, then that is a revolution.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, actually. You know, that's what I've always wished. You know, that the same with Android. I wished Android would keep the same gestures. And in essence, they are similar. And actually, I think they're becoming more similar as we move along. And that's not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. That helps people make choices about what kind of tech they want to buy.
Yeah. Problems with technology have always been a lack of universal, either, you know, parts that fit into other technology or wiring or, and then in our case, gestures. So it would be great, wouldn't it, to just be able to borrow someone else's phone and know that their device will work the same as what you're used to using.
But does it come down to Apple? I mean, are they saying, this is ours, we patented this, we came up with this, no one else can use it? I know that was an issue in the past, and that causes an obstacle for the usability of all these devices. If it was universal, like Lydia just said, it would be fantastic. So not sure what the issue is there.
Well, of course, there was a time when Apple and Samsung were never out of the courts, and you know, Apple and Google were never out of the courts over these very things, you know. So, you know, copyrights and all that are, you know, patents, different world, isn't it? But for us to understand, but, you know, I guess for us it would just be easier if they were all the same. But, you know, the fact is that they are similar. That's the point. They are actually quite similar. Let's go into another email from Kawal, who picks up again on the Opticon discussion last week. She says, hello, I remember learning how to use the Opticon at school. I got really good at it. By the way, the Opticon has 224 pins, which made the tactile images for all the printed letters. Wow. Kawal also goes on to talk about the Seeing AI app she's been having some issues with. She mentioned before that she was having problems with it. She said, the reason why I could not use Seeing AI with the other phone that I had, which was a 7 Plus, was because I could not point my phone in the right direction of the paper or the product. I think it was by luck that I began to use this app successfully, so I am very pleased with it. By the way, I did try to take a picture of my face with it. It informed me that I was a man. I was not amused. oh dear.
That's never a good experience when you try that. I think I was 73 or something.
I have to say, yes, I think I was struggling to get a below 60 using this Seeing AI app. Have you tried this app out?
I have. Lydia? I have indeed. I've heard so many great things about this app, and I want to love this app so much, and I don't know what it is I'm doing wrong. But it doesn't matter what I point it at, I get a completely different answer. The other day I wanted to use it for a sell-by date on some pack of prepared fruit. So out I get my app, off we go, didn't have a magnifier, and it just told me that I was looking at a wine cellar.
Well, arguably. Okay. Arguably. I mean, you know, fruit becomes
wine.
Was it grapes? Yeah. That's pretty deep.
Well, it is. I pointed it at my guide dog, and it's told me that he was a treadmill. I don't know what I'm doing wrong with this app, because I'm good at technology. I'm very, very good at technology. But I can assure you, my 2-year-old Labradoodle isn't a treadmill, I promise.
Are you sure? Are you? I mean,
I don't even own a treadmill.
Right.
I don't
think. You don't think you own a treadmill. The thing is, it's a bit like using GPS. You know, you always doubt it, don't you? You think, I don't know if I trust this. Will it take me to the right place? But if you actually let it do its job, it is right. So maybe in this case, you actually own a treadmill. And that's what
you're saying. It is a treadmill. Her dog is a treadmill.
You've been walking around town for years with a treadmill called Bertie.
Have I been walking around town there, or have I just been walking on the treadmill?
On a treadmill, yeah, exactly. You haven't moved at all. Incredible.
Next time I'm here, speaking to you all, I will tell you all how I'm getting on.
I can't wait to hear the next
one. We're seeing it.
Yeah, I pointed it at my mum and it said she was a sideboard.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if it said to me, like, that it was, I don't know, some numbers, or I wouldn't mind if it just said dog, or I wouldn't mind if it said, you know, all the various things it could say. What I do mind is that it's just coming up with completely unrelated objects.
My favourite one was when I pointed it. It wasn't actually this app. It was AI Polly, which is another one that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I pointed it at my dog, and it said dog. And I pointed it at my slippers, and it said slippers. And then I pointed it at my wife, and it said Labrador. Let's just say that did not go down well. It did not go down well. I just suggested maybe she needed a new haircut. I don't know. Anyway, let's get to the next email. Greg, yes, quickly. Greg in Pennsylvania. Hello, Greg. He says, hi, Tech Talkers. I still really enjoy your show with the interplay of your personalities, but I'm starting to get somewhat annoyed when you guys spend a lot of time speculating and opining on things you have no experience with yet. For example, you spent nearly a quarter of your last show opining on the upcoming Apple HomePod. To me, a complete waste of your limited airtime. Just my opinion, of course. Well, listen, I take that on board. We do speculate because, you know, everyone's speculating at the moment, Greg. This is a new thing that's coming out. There are a lot of questions around it. And, you know, there has to be a question mark of whether any of us will even ever buy this thing because, you know, it's a pretty expensive product for what it is. And, you know, I love the show and I love doing this every week, but will I spend 319 quid just so someone can tell, so I can tell you whether it's good or bad? Probably not. So, you know, we have to opine to some degree, but hopefully we shall opine less and, you know, get back to important stuff. And actually some important stuff, valuable resources, Greg points out, for learning JAWS and Windows 10 and Chromebook and iOS. Sharon Lyons of Sharon's Shortcuts, which sounds like the best name ever for a hairdresser, is a fantastic resource using a keyboard for accessing a PC or a Chromebook. She's often featured on the excellent NCBI Technology podcast, which it is. And also a few months ago did a fairly in-depth demonstration of Chromebook accessibility. That will appeal to a number of our listeners, including Kelly, who got in touch last week. She says her website is great for learning Windows 10 and Microsoft Office. The Hadley Institute for the Blind has many excellent resources as well, including an in-depth series on using iOS with both VoiceOver and Zoom. Also, the American Foundation for the Blind offers some very good training videos on NVDA and other technology training videos. All of the above resources are free. He says also the National Braille Press offers books for learning iOS, Android and more in both Braille and DAISY for modest fees. Well, thank you, Greg. We shall hopefully not opine too much for you, but we certainly appreciate the email and all those resources as well. Brilliant to know those are there.
Yes. Thank you, Greg, and sorry, Greg.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg. I wasn't involved, so.
Yeah, you're all right. You got off the hook on that one.
Just this week. This week.
Just this week. Yeah. From now on. Oh no! I can't wait to hear the emails on you. Right.
I know. I advance apologize, everybody. I'm really sorry, and I'm only small.
It's all that treadmill work.
Exactly. Yeah. Right, to Rebecca's email. Rebecca says, hi, first of all, I've reviewed all the resources you recommended last week for the Google Chromebook and found them very helpful. Mystic Access has created a comprehensive tutorial on the Google suite of apps covering all the major platforms. Now, having owned a Chromebook for less than 2 weeks, here's what I have to share so far. Will it replace my Windows machine? Well, Rebecca says, no. Nearly everything is operated through the cloud, and I'm not comfortable enough with the Gmail app to compose all my email on a Chromebook. Outlook and Windows Mail are still my preferred mail clients. ChromeVox, which is the screen reader on that device, can be sluggish at sign-in and when you type too fast. Now, here are the good points. If you've got a machine that supports the App Store, you can download many Android apps, though some are not optimized for Chrome laptops. Working with TalkBack and ChromeVox at the same time can be confusing but doable. Google Docs and Google Sheets, in my view, are just as powerful as MS Word and Excel without the annoying ribbon. And if you use ChromeVox with Chrome OS, you don't have to keep toggling your screen reader's cursor. I'm confident Braille will improve, Rebecca says, and I hope to use the Chromebook more often, particularly if required for professional purposes. ChromeVox has a lot more to offer than I thought initially. Having a built-in screen reader and word processor in a device that can cost as little as $200 in her case is quite a bargain if you enjoy technology for its own sake. Really interesting first thoughts there on your experience on Chromebook, Rebecca. Thanks for sharing those.
Yeah, I appreciate that because, as I said last time, I did give an opinion. Sorry, Greg. But I haven't actually used one. I have heard about them. People have talked about them. And as I said last time, I thought the screen reader itself seemed limited. Lots of button and sluggish. But then again, you know, for the price of it, and they are working on it. I think the new one, is it a Chrome Nexus is the new version of
a Chrome Next.
Yeah, so that's the new version of the Vox screen reader. So they are improving it, and for the price point and whatever you want to use it for, it could be a good choice.
Interesting stuff. Well, listen, those are the emails. Thank you for those. Keep them coming in, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. If you've got something you want to say on the show, you might want to join the discussion or continue the conversation. Well, whatever you want to do, get in touch. Email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Now, we do love to talk technology. You two go and have a rest for a minute because, Lydia's new to the show. We're going to give you a rest for a minute.
Excellent. I'll go fan myself and eat some bread.
Go fan yourself in the corner. Sean, just don't move because you'll break something.
Okay.
But you two stay there because I want to bring in Claire Potter. Claire does our Potter's Picks. How are you, Claire?
Hi, Stephen. I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
I'm amazing, as always. You know that.
You are amazing, though.
I keep telling people this. No one listens. No one believes me. Right. What's
apart
your
from
theme?
Me.
Yeah, apart from you. Right. What's your theme this week?
Right. Okay. This week's theme is something which is not going to benefit me, funnily enough. So I'm thinking about other people again. And this week's theme is, I don't know, I'm just so nice. I've just got such a caring concept in 2018. My theme this week is lighting.
Lighting, yes. It's a big topic, isn't it? Because, you know, when you think about it, and people probably think, well, hang on, does that fall under the category of technology? Well, yes, it does. Because, we could talk about smart lighting all day and night. We have done on the show before.
Yeah.
But, you know, that simple lighting that is so important if you're partially sighted, getting the lighting right at home
absolutely
is key. And you know, even for blind people, Claire, you know, this idea that, you know, blind people will live in perpetual darkness in their homes is just ridiculous. You know, of course blind people stick on the light. You know, I mean, they might not
even
if
when
they're
on
their
own. I mean, it just depends really.
Yeah, I mean, you might not do that if you're on your own. I get that, but at the same time,
save your bill.
But I imagine blind people have got friends, you know, who have good sight, kind of thing, you know?
Actually have friends, you know.
Yeah, how bizarre. So, yes, let's talk about lighting. What's your first one?
Okay, my first one is called the Acoustic Light Probe.
Ah, okay. So what does that do?
So the Acoustic Light Probe uses audible signals to indicate the type of light, so whether it's bright, dark, natural or artificial. Believe it or not, we do need to know that sometimes. It also comes with a reusable tip, which people can use to check whether their lights are on or off. Very important for those times when you have friends around and they forget to turn the lights off and they don't tell you anything. And it's very small as well, so it's quite a nice little thing that you can just have on a table or somewhere. And a lot of people just wouldn't even know what on earth it is, which, that always stands out to me.
That sounds absolutely brilliant. So I guess these are available from RNIB?
They are available from RNIB. You can get them from a couple of other places as well, but this one in particular is from the RNIB. So the code for the Acoustic Light Probe is DH402, and the price is $34.95.
That's not bad. That's a good price, and you know what, a really useful tool as well. I know we all talk about how our smartphones can do all this, but you know, it's when the smartphone's dead or it's upstairs and you can't be bothered going up to find it,
and you've got a power cut so you can't charge your smartphone.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's number one. What's your second choice regarding lighting this week in your Potter's Picks?
Well, talking of power cuts, something that people might want to consider having, just in case, is an emergency sensor nightlight.
Okay.
So this works by plugging it into a 3-pin socket, so just a normal electric socket. It's only triggered by movement, so it only works when you need it, basically. But the thing that's really cool about this is that if there's a power cut, it knows, and it actually switches to its internal battery, so it makes it a torch as well.
That's actually pretty impressive. So you've got multiple functions on that. Great for partially sighted people. If you've got a bit of low vision and you get up in the middle of the night for whatever reason, you know, having light so you can see where you're going, be guided, is really important. Okay, great. Where do you get it? How much?
Okay, this one, you need to go online to www.coopersofstartford.co.uk. The code for this, if you need it, and you will probably need it, is E457. And the price is $12.99.
And what's your final pick this week?
My final pick this week is... is the RNIB LED touch light.
Okay, tell me what that is.
So with this one, what you do is you bring the arm forward and it makes the object that you're trying to look at a little bit clearer to see. It's very compact when you're not using it, and it has three different temperatures, from my understanding, to help you... use it in different situations and in different environments as well.
Amazing. Right, okay. So it's essentially a desk light, is it?
You can use it as a desk light, yeah. I mean, if people want to read something like a book or a newspaper, they can use it for that. But yeah, I think people who use computers as well would benefit from that.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a good point, actually, seeing the keyboard, yeah. Okay.
Or the screen.
Right. Or the screen, indeed, right. Okay, so where do I get it and how much?
Right, the code for this is from the RNIB, and the product code is DH361, and the price is $48.95.
Okay, well, that's a really nice set of picks this week on lighting. I really like that. Thank you for that, Claire. Three great items under 150 quid. You've done it again.
In fact, yay!
Am I right in saying all items this week under £50?
Do you know what? I think you are. Yes, under 50. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Not bad at all. You've broken the budget once again.
Listen,
thank you so much. Yeah.
As always.
What's next week's theme? Have you decided yet? Are you going to keep us in suspense or?
I will keep you in suspense for definite. I'm not telling you.
Fair enough. Right. Okay. we'll look forward to speaking to you next week, Claire Potter. As always, thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, guys, I think we should talk about Braille, because we haven't talked about Braille for a while. I am going to be joined by a voice who hasn't been on the show for far too long. Julie Rodaway is back with us. Hello, Julie.
Hello, Stephen. Lovely to be back.
Yes, you're back, and it is great to hear from you again. I was going to say see you again, but I can't see you, so we'll just say hear you again. Right, so... your latest thing that you've bought, and we've been doing a lot of this in the show, I think, over the past few weeks, talking about things we've all been buying. I don't know where the money's coming from for all of us, but yeah, we're going out and buying crazily. You've been buying a new Braille device called the L-Braille.
Indeed, I have. The last time I was on the show, you may remember I spoke briefly about this with you and Sean, or it seems like years ago now, but I actually... acquired this just before Christmas, and I have to say it's classed as a note taker, but I think it's classed very unfairly as such, because to me it's definitely a game changer. Definitely. I think to class this as a note taker is grossly unfair, because I can do everything, and I mean everything, I want to do, because this is essentially a docking station running Windows 10, a full version of Windows 10, no cut down here. And so I can install any program I want and run it, and there's no restrictions whatsoever. In the past, with Braille note takers that I've used, because they use their own proprietary platform, there were certain restrictions, things it couldn't do. Some note takers couldn't use the internet properly, it would crash. But with this, there's no problem at all. And I am simply blown away by this product. I can't enthuse enough about it.
Okay, so talk to me about how it actually works. What does it use? You know, how do you operate it, and what do you use it for?
Okay, this is a docking station, and it uses a Focus 14 Braille display, and it uses JAWS as its screen reader. Now, in order to fully utilize this product, a really good knowledge of JAWS Braille concepts is essential, although you can use a USB keyboard. But with the Focus, if you know all the Braille commands that JAWS uses, you are able to fully control this device and do everything you would do with a normal keyboard. Now, I use it for everyday tasks, whether it be using sound editors, Dropbox. I've got Microsoft Office on here. I use the RNIB Overdrive. I use Audible, Skype. Anything I want to use on a normal laptop, I can do so on here. And the amazing thing about this device is it's literally about the size of a video cassette. And it's just amazing that, you know, such a compact device, you can do so much with.
So you like it then? I mean, it's
absolutely. I can't enthuse enough about it. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And to me, it's definitely a game changer as far as note takers go. It's more than a note taker. It's just fantastic. There are drawbacks. It's not the most fastest PC in the world. If you want high-end spec, you need to consider possibly a high-end laptop. But for everyday tasks, on the move especially, it's more than ideal, and it will complete those tasks for you. And the thing I like about this as well is that if you have any difficulties, and you know sometimes you're working in Windows 10 and the thing updates at an inconvenient time, or it crashes, you use your Braille, you lose your speech, and you think, my God, you know, you've got to use Narrator or NVDA to try and get you out of a jam, or if you're fortunate to have a pair of eyes around, which I don't. But with this, if you get into trouble, there is an emergency menu, which when activated is self-voicing. So even if you do lose your speech and your Braille, it doesn't matter. And it gives you options to get out of a jam so that you can restart JAWS, restart the whole system completely, or shut the thing down and start again at a later date. So you've always got that emergency menu. And I love that. And I love the fact also that when you're booting it up, it emits a series of vibrations which alerts you to what is happening as the PC is booting up. And with a laptop or a tablet, you don't always get that. So that's another thing I like about it. There's no screen on this device either, but there is an HDMI port on here should you wish to attach it to your monitor.
That's interesting. Right, okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the drawbacks, because I've heard some people criticize these devices for being too slow. They run on older Windows software. I mean, I remember Braille devices that used to use Windows CE.
So that was the problem with older note takers. That was the problem. And that's why they were so limiting in many ways. Yes, it is, if you're used to using a high-end laptop, it is slow. And it doesn't run on the latest Windows, although it's Windows 10, it won't take the full Windows creator. And the RAM, it's only 2 gigs of RAM. Now, people would argue 2 gigs of RAM these days is a bit mean, but I remember the old netbooks that used to run on 2 gigs of RAM. And on those, sometimes I would find JAWS would stutter. But on this, I've not heard it stutter once. And I've had several programs open at once, and it's able to deal with that, even with 2 gigs of RAM. But, you know, I think they could increase the RAM size. I would also criticize the onboard storage for programs. You've only got 30 gigs there. Now, that to me could increase, although you have an onboard solid state drive. That's 120 gigs. That's for your personal data. But I think the 30 gig, you know, that definitely could increase.
Yeah, that does seem a little bit low. Can you attach
it? It is low.
Can you attach an external drive? Can you add storage to it?
Absolutely. There is an SD card slot. you can put up to 256 gig card in there. It's only got one USB port, but I've got round that because I've got a USB hub. So if I want to attach more than one USB device, I can. Yes, it works with hard drives, it works with CD-ROMs. Anything you throw at it, it works.
And one final question for you. You'll probably guess what it is, Julie, but what is the price of this? I love asking this question.
I don't know the price of the complete unit because when I got my L Braille, I had a Focus 14 blue Braille display already and I had JAWS license. So I didn't need to buy that. But for the docking station, it was £1,100 just for the docking station. So I just purchased that and I was good to go. Yes, it's a lot of money. For the price, but I think the convenience of having a full Windows 10 computer with a Braille display attached, I think it's well worth it for me.
I must admit, I wasn't as horrified by that price as I thought I would be. In regards to the Braille display, though, just for clarity, do you need to have a Focus Braille display, or can any Braille display work with this?
It is designed primarily for the Focus because all the JAWS commands, you know, work with the Focus. You could, I suppose, use another Braille display, but it wouldn't fit in the dock. You'd have to attach that by USB or Bluetooth. But this docking station is primarily designed for the Focus 14. There is another version of the L Braille out, which is not a docking station, that is the L Braille 40. That takes the Focus 40 and it's a complete unit rather than a docking station on that particular unit.
Julie, it has been great to talk to you. You're going to be back on the show soon opining with us on a whole wide range of topics. I look forward to that. But
Indeed. Well, thank you very much for letting me talk to you and I wish everybody well.
And one final question, by the way. How's Coco doing?
Oh, Coco, she's an utter nutter, you know. She's a live wire. She's absolutely bonkers. Oh, she really is. She's, you know, and the name Coco the Clown definitely suits.
Yeah, well, Coco the Guide Dog, we wish well as well. Julie, we'll speak to you soon.
Okay, you take care. Thank you.
That's it. We're out of time, as always. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. The show is not the same without you, so please send in your emails. Get in touch. And Lydia, it has been great having you on the show for the first time. Did you enjoy yourself? Are you coming back? Please say yes.
Yes. I will be here. I will be here again. It's been fantastic to be here with you both.
Thank you, Lydia.
Oh, that's okay, Sean. You've been great, Sean. You've been 100%.
Thank you. I always am.
I like you. You're my favourite.
Oh, yeah. I hear that a lot. Trust me. I hear that a lot. It's called a sympathy vote, but I know the truth. Guys, that is it for our show. Remember the podcast. Do keep in touch by email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. The show is not the same without you. Thank you all for being here. Guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll catch you next week.